You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
All right. We're back with another week of the Bet Slippin' Podcast. This is your host, Nathan Beegley. I'll be joined with Jeff Clark, and we have a special guest talking all things baseball, Brian Rudd from Baseball HQ. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, so we got opening day starting Thursday, and just a little bit of a preview. We'll be doing MLB today, and then dropping Tuesday, we'll have a Masters podcast as well. So two out this week for everyone. So before we get into our bets and kind of the division by division play, let me do a quick ad read and get everything going there. So we are presented by Tipico Sportsbook. Tipico Sportsbook is a global betting leader and is now live in New Jersey and Colorado. Make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook. New users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. You have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey and 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. All right, gentlemen, I reside in Cincinnati. The Reds are pretty excited, and we're going to we're going to dive into the AL first. So on our docket first is the AL East. The Toronto Blue Jays are the favorite there at plus 162 to win the division, followed by the New York Yankees at plus 220. Do you have any thoughts on the division or anything you like, Brian?
Yeah, I kind of lean Toronto on this. I think I'm going chalk. The odds are close enough to where I don't see enough value in the dog. And I think the Blue Jays are going to have the top offense in the American League, maybe in the majors, and then they have added to their pitching staff. They have a full season from Berrios now, and they've also added Kevin Gausman. So I worry a little bit about their rotation depth because Ryu is always an injury risk, and Kikuchi, you know, unless the Velo bounces back, I have my doubts about him. So that's the only questions around that team. But I think they're at the end, they'll be on top of the division led by that powerful offense. I'd be on the Blue Jays myself.
Interesting chalk there. I think this is mispriced. I have Toronto or Tampa Bay as the best team in this division, which isn't a stretch, right? They just won 100 plus games, I think for first time in the franchise's history. I am a Yankee fan, so I am biased here. I would have the Yankees as the second favorite and Toronto as the third. And the reason for my, I guess, hesitancy with Toronto here is they gave up Robbie Ray and Steven Matz this past offseason, and they replaced him with Kevin Gausman and Kikuchi. Yusei Kikuchi, I think that's his full name. I wasn't a fan of Kikuchi and Seattle, and like you said, his exit velo is pretty high up there. He can get plunked around, and I think he could be in a lot of trouble in an AL East schedule. And Kevin Gausman, again, as a Yankee fan, is someone I'm very familiar with. He was drafted, I think, 7th by the Baltimore Orioles a while ago, and we literally knocked that dude out of the division. Like we the Yankees and the Red Sox and Tampa Bay blast this guy to the point where he went to San Francisco and completely revamped his stock and his baseball image. You know, he had nearly a Cy Young year and was phenomenal for San Francisco last year. So like two of my hesitancies or you know, my hesitancy with Kevin Gausman is, can he keep that same San Francisco production and bring it to the AL East? And based on his prior stint in the AL East, I am not so sure about that. I wouldn't be surprised though if he, you know, learned some things in the San Francisco organization, pitching to catcher Buster Posey before he retired. I wouldn't be like shocked if Kevin Gausman is right and is a legitimate ace moving forward. The Toronto lineup is sick. Getting rid of Marcus Semien hurt a little bit, but they have so much on that lineup. They should be able to be a top five lineup, certainly in the American League, probably baseball. Their bullpen is a little weak. They have a full year of Jose Berrios. And the guy that I was shopping around for prices on, and I want to get a little bit of feedback from you on him, is Alek Manoah. Brian, I mean, Alek Manoah was phenomenal when he was called up to the major league. He was a stud prospect for Toronto, and he pitched like a stud down the stretch. No book, not even like typical sports book or a lot of the other books that I looked at, have Alek Manoah Cy Young prices, and I think that's outrageous. What do you think of him rounding out that rotation for Toronto?
Yeah, I think he's a potential front of the rotation starter. You know, could get there in short order. So I expect big things from him this year as well.
Yeah, full year of Jose Berrios. When he came over from Minnesota, he was phenomenal. Like, looked like a guy that was deserving of a contract extension that he ended up getting in this past offseason. So, like you said, the depth of the rotation, not very deep, pretty shallow, right? But they have absolute studs at the top, right? Like,
right.
If Gausman, Berrios, and Manoah pitch up to form, like, they could absolutely win the division and possibly even go to the World Series. Ryu is a bit of a question mark, and the bullpen's a bit of a question mark. My best bet, actually, in the AL East, it's chalk. I picked the Rays to win the division, but their over-under for a win total is 89.5 wins. I don't get that. That's outrageous to me. Like, I want to hate the Tampa Bay Rays. I do, for the most part, as a Yankee fan. But this team is phenomenal. Like, I think the market and baseball fans are really, like, they're sleeping on the lineup. Like, the lineup with Wander Franco is going to be even better than it was last year. I think Brandon Lowe is a fringe MVP candidate. They have, again, a dynamic lineup. They got four left-handed batters, four right-handed batters, and one switch hitter. They have the third best farm system, and in my opinion, organizational depth is the most important thing when looking at season win totals. And they have the best bullpen by WAR, by FIP, second by K-minus walk rate. So my best bet, excuse me, in the AL East is over 89.5 wins. I don't see the Rays getting worse by 11 wins this year, despite, like, I think the Yankees are going to be good this year. I think Toronto is going to be good. And Boston, you know, I thought last year was a bit of a fluke, but they still should be a winning team. So my best bet in this division is over 89.5 wins for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I'm a Rays fan. I think they'd be my pick for second in the division. I just think Toronto's ready to take the step forward with youth on offense. But the Rays do have them beat in, you know, depth, and minor leaguers ready to step in should injuries strike and everything. So I think it'll be a tight race. I just give
Blue
Jays the edge.
Yeah, what do you think is the differentiator between those two teams?
I just think that Toronto offense is just so loaded. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, on top of that, you add in Chapman, who he could get back to hitting 35-plus home runs again. So, I mean, that infield's, they're all in their prime. And I think there's a little something to be said about Toronto kind of getting back to normalcy, being in Canada. They're hopefully going to have 2 years of disruption. Last year they had a run rate, Baseball Reference has a Pythagorean win-loss percentage, and it was almost 0.5 higher than it was for the Blue Jays. And so it looks like they probably lost some close games. So if those turn, I like the Blue Jays over 91.5 games just to improve on last year, especially with Chapman and their infield in their prime.
I think you made a sharp point there about them playing a full schedule actually in Toronto. Half of the schedule, or I think a third of the schedule, was played in their minor league ballpark in Florida, and then another third was in Buffalo, and then the final third was in Toronto. Do I have that right, Brian?
Yeah, it's something like that.
So we saw this kind of with the Toronto Raptors this year. They had to play in Tampa Bay last year in the NBA season, and it was pretty much just like a throwout year for Toronto. So maybe, like, to your point, playing at the Rogers Center in Toronto for a full season does help their team. I think that's a pretty good point, Nate.
Yep. All right, cool. Well, if we don't have anything else in that division, let's move on to the AL Central. So the AL Central, I really only put one down here, and that's because the Chicago White Sox at minus 220 are a heavy favorite in the division. We'll start with you, Jeff. Do you have anything different? Any other insights in the AL Central?
I love fading teams. I couldn't really make an argument to fade Chicago here. Like, their lineup is sick. You know, the loss of Carlos Rodon hurts a little bit, but they have Dylan Cease there, who I think is going to be a Cy Young contender. Obviously, Lucas Giolito is phenomenal as well. Lance Lynn gave them phenomenal innings last year. I'm a little skeptical that he can pitch up to form this year, but, like, we're really kind of...
He's hurt now, too.
Say it again?
He just got hurt also, so he's going to miss some time at the beginning of the year.
Oh, when did that happen? I didn't see that.
It's, like, this weekend. So this, a month to 2 months, I think, beginning of the season. Not exactly sure.
But the things that I look for in a team, at least, like, in regular season win total, like I said, organizational depth and bullpen. And Chicago has a top five bullpen in the league, right? We can agree to that, right, Brian?
Yeah.
And they just picked up Kendall Graveman, who's another elite arm, or they picked him up this past offseason. So, like, Chicago really doesn't have a lot of fat on its resume. And I am a little nervous about the rotation depth, but they should be able to win this American League Central, which I'm not high on. I think it's probably the worst division in the AL. Maybe you could speak more to that, Brian. My best bet, actually, in this division, I would take the Detroit Tigers over 77.5 wins, and I could talk about that in a second, but is there any teams that jump out to you in terms of value or any bets that you like here, Brian?
I kind of like the Twins to finish just a little above 500, and I think they're over-under is about 79.5 right now, so I kind of like them for the over. But it's tough to see them, you know, they're around plus 600 to win the division. It's kind of tough to see them getting over that hump. They finished 20 games behind the White Sox last year. I do think they'll be improved with, you know, adding Sonny Gray and Correa. They'll have Joe Ryan for a full season. He looked really good at the end of last season. But it's a lot to ask for them to jump the White Sox. I see them kind of run away with things as well. But if I had to pick a team to beat them, I'd say the Twins would be the closest.
Okay. Yeah, I'm liking the Detroit Tigers over 77.5 wins. They were 77-85 last year. They finished year strong, three games above 500 in the second half of the year. And to go over their win total, they only need to improve by a half win, or, you know, one win from last season. And I feel like they added enough to their team with Javier Baez, shortstop, and Eduardo Rodriguez, excuse me, as the de facto ace of that rotation. I think that is enough to kind of boost them over that 77.5 win mark. They didn't do much to add to the bullpen, and their bullpen is complete trash, so that makes me nervous. But to me, there's a lot of upside in the rotation between Casey Mize, Tarek Skubal, Matt Manning, who hasn't shown a lot but is a really high draft pick, has great stuff, and if he can kind of hone it in, and if all three of them can hone it in a little bit in a pitcher-friendly ballpark, that starting pitching can go from not good at all to above average. And they've actually been over their win total over the last 2 years, and they had the third best ATS record last season, so they exceeded expectations of the market, at least against the spread last year. And again, they have the 10th best farm system, two top five prospects. I'm actually looking at Spencer Torkelson to win the AL Rookie of the Year, and they have another guy, Riley Green, who could be in that conversation as well. So I think organizationally they're deep. I'm intrigued by what their rotation could be, and their lineup had a bit of pop, even though it did underperform last year. But all those things, I think, are trending up, and I think the Tigers can definitely play close to 500 ball, if not exceed 500 ball. So that's my best bet in the AL Central.
Yeah, so I don't have anything too solid on here, but I do like the Twins, like Brian was saying. They got I kind of started tracking them after they traded for Sonny Gray. And I mean, he had two winning seasons in Cincinnati. And I think last year was a bit of a fluke compared to what he's shown on his all-star career. So hopefully, like Brian said, hopefully they can get just over that 79.5 mark. So if we don't have any more comments, let's move our way to the last AL, and that's the AL West, where the Houston Astros are favored at minus 180. That should be an interesting division. So go ahead with it, Brian. Do you have any thoughts on that, on the AL West?
I think the Angels here are a pretty good value as far as when the division goes, because, you know, if things break right health-wise, I think they could push the Astros. We've seen the Astros get pushed by the A's in years past, and the A's have fallen off. I think the Angels can take that step and maybe come out on top in that division. They got two of the best players in the game, and Trout and Ohtani. And then, you know, Trout can stay healthy. And if they can just get, you know, I don't expect Rendon and Syndergaard to be, you know, what they are at their peak, but if they can just stay healthy for a full season and somewhat return to form, they can provide a big boost to that team as well.
Yeah, and just to add in the Angels did give a pretty good return. I should have mentioned that. They were the only other contenders in the AL West is the Angels at plus 350 and the Mariners at plus 480. Everyone else is plus over 1,000. So truly the Astros and then those three.
I actually wrote for Sportsbook Wire the Los Angeles Angel like team preview. And one of the Angel fans got pissed off at me and got in my mentions and just like clowned on me for being an East Coast guy, which I don't think like that's not something I wrote in the piece. I don't know how I even got there.
Stereotype of an East Coast guy off.
Yeah, I guess I give off East Coast vibes. And yeah. I just talked about pretty much just like one of the lines that I use in there was like death, taxes, and the Los Angeles Angels underperforming season expectations. Like those are the only sure things in this world. I mean, we go through it every year with the Los Angeles Angels. And every year they underperform. And what I said to the guy was like, dude, I live 20 minutes from the stadium. Like, I know more about the team culture than you do. Like, I live among Angels fans that are perennially disappointed by the performance of their team. And their owner doesn't really like pinch any pennies. Like, he spends the money. They just always spend it poorly. They never have any organizational depth. And this is kind of crazy. Just kind of show you that I did a ton of Angels homework here. A name that is a big, like, if this guy can step up, this will be a big indicator of how the season progresses for the Angels. But Patrick Sandoval, you're familiar with that guy, I'm sure, Brian. His Statcast numbers are sick. Like, left-hander, he's a 11-round pick, but a left-hander, for the Angels rotation. I think he's going to be the third starter behind Syndergaard and obviously Shohei Ohtani. He's in the 97th percentile in exit velocity, 92nd percentile in whiff rate, 82nd percentile in expected slugging. So he's phenomenal. And if he can, he showed to have phenomenal stuff last year. If he can continue to be that guy and be a third quality starter for them. Again, Syndergaard's health needs to hold up. Maybe this team does reach the next step or improve year over year. Last year, we split the MLB breakdowns into AL and NL. We did two different podcasts, and Brian was here for the NL one. So you might maybe listen to the podcast, the AL podcast, Brian, but I was high on the Seattle Mariners last year. I gave out their over 72.5 wins as my best bet. And holy shit, was that an easy winner. Now, they got a bunch of luck, right? They had like a 14 luck factor, but they won 90 games. So they wouldn't have went over their win total without the luck factor. But I absolutely loved what they did in the offseason. They added an AL Cy Young winner in Robbie Ray. They added all-star second baseman Adam Frazier. They picked up two quality bats from your Cincinnati Reds, Jesse Winker, who everyone loves, as they should. Dude's
everyone
phenomenal.
Everyone loves Jesse Winker in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah,
everyone
you guys were crushed.
Pissed at the ownership. They're like, we don't want to win.
No, I mean, there, you cannot part ways with that guy. I felt pretty similar to like when Mookie Betts was traded from Boston. Granted, he's not as good as Mookie Betts, but like Jesse Winker is phenomenal, and just to let him go or trade him is, I couldn't wrap my brain around it.
So the other one of my best bets was also the Mariners, and just to add to that real quick, but they also got Suarez, and I mean that was a big that was a big deal in that he had 50 home runs a couple years ago. So but you can continue. I just want to chime in. I love the Mariners as well. That was one of my favorite bets. I believe it's what, 83.5 right now.
Right now their win total, I'm going above that. I'm going with them to win the division. Now, if I'm shopping around for futures, their win total is 83.5, but it's heavily juiced to the over, -125. Now, typically, if I'm shopping around for futures, I'm only going to take something that's +300 or higher. Seattle Mariners future to win this division is +480. I do think, without a lot of rationale behind it, I just do think the Astros take a step back this year. Angels, I disagree with their pricing, but you never know with their talent. They could be good. I just think we're getting a fat number with Seattle. I mean, they have a top 10 bullpen. At least they did last year. They kept them mostly intact. They have the second best farm system, and that's despite graduating Jared Kelenic last year, who was terrible when he made in the major leagues. But as an everyday starter, he gets to kind of like, you know, turn the page, like wash all that off and start fresh this year. And they're bringing up their one of the best prospects in baseball, Julio Rodriguez. He should be, I think they announced him as an everyday starter on opening day. So I like the Seattle Mariners. I'm pretty much taking all the money that I made from them last year and putting it on this future. I like them here, so I'll take the +480 for them to win the AL West.
All right, I like it.
Well, real quick, though, and I can bring this up in a second here, but I actually kind of don't hate the value of Jesse Winker to win NL or AL MVP. It's going at +5,000 right now. I mean, this guy's career numbers are absurd. His career weighted on base is 379, and weighted runs created plus WRC plus is 132. So this dude's a stud, and he's going to be in a sick lineup. Not a pitcher-friendly park. That's the one issue that I have. But otherwise, I mean, I think it'd be, and I think Jesse Winker can be in for a big year. So I don't know, just my last thought, I guess.
No, you're good. We'll wrap that up, head over to the NL where my Cincinnati Reds are, but we're gonna start in the NL East. The NL East is featuring the Atlanta Braves, New York Mets, Philadelphia Phillies, Miami Marlins, and Washington Nationals. In all reality, sportsbooks are really only giving the Braves, Mets, and Phillies respectively at +115, +200, and +320 a chance. Do you have any thoughts on this division, Ryan?
I kind of like the Mets to sneak in and pull it off. So I think they were my pick when we did this last year, but I'm going to stick with them. I like what they did in the offseason. I know the DeGrom news is a pretty big blow, but they still have a lot to like in that rotation with Scherzer and Bassett and you know, Tyler McGill will step in to that last spot now. He might have been out of the rotation for a while with when they were fully healthy, but I like him a lot. He obviously won't be able to replicate DeGrom's numbers, but he's going to be very good. And I like Carrasco for a bounce back as well. So I really like that rotation. Then on offense, they have Mark Canha, Starling Marte, and Eduardo Escobar, and they're getting Robinson Cano back, who, you know, isn't what he once was, but he can still be a viable DH for them. So I think they're just real solid all around, and I take them at 2-1. I like that value a lot.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think the Braves win the division. I'm not going to make a bet on it. It's only +115. I just feel like everyone, or mostly people, were like kind of playing them out, and it was like, oh, they're a team that got hot at the right time, which isn't untrue. And I think there's a bit of an overreaction to the departure of Freeman. I was getting into Matt Olson's numbers or just looking at his Fangraphs profile, and Matt Olson's sick. Like, he's definitely not Freddie Freeman, right? But, like, if you're replacing someone or if you're replacing Freeman, like Matt Olson is a solid replacement, and they're gonna be better off for having Ronald Acuna back. Riley obviously was phenomenal last year. Their lineup was phenomenal last year, and they were below 500 up until, I don't know, like August, essentially, because they're starting pitching shit the bed. Like, I was really high on Max Fried coming into last season, and he made me look dumb for the first half of the year. Second half of the year, I mean, if you just go by halves, he was pretty much the NL Cy Young for the second half of the year. I think he was 9-1, had a sub 3 ERA, was absolutely phenomenal, and was certainly their ace. And I'm a big fan of the rotation between Charlie Morton. They're going to get Soroka back at some point. Obviously, Max Fried, Ian Anderson. Their bullpen possibly pitched a little bit above its skis. So they could be a little regression, but their hitting is phenomenal. I think their starting pitching is going to be better this year. I don't have, if anything, I would zag on you, Brian, unfortunately, and go under Mets 88.5 wins, because they're the Los Angeles Angels of the East. It's, you know, they've went under 5 of the last 6 years. I mean, I'm from New York. I'm a big Yankee fan. They always win the offseason. That's what they do. That's what the Mets do. They win the offseason, right? And can anyone say anything bad about the Max Scherzer signing? Of course not. That guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But it probably won't work out, because that's the Mets. They're just cursed. And I'm interested, real quick, do you think Bassett is an upgrade over Stroman? To me, it's just like a net-net. Like,
it's even. I think they're, pretty similar. I think I like Bassett a little better, but, yeah, they're pretty – it doesn't really move the needle in either direction.
Fair enough. Their hitting was terrible last year, despite having big names. Now, maybe, like, you're willing to give them a mulligan, and that's fine. I wouldn't be surprised if their hitting is really good this year, because they have the talent. But they were 26th in contact rate, 22nd barrel rate, 20th in a hard hit and EV. So, like, their peripherals weren't even good. Like, it isn't just like, oh, you know, low BABIP, they had bad luck. Like, nah, their hitting sucked. Like, that's really what it was. Their hitting sucked last year. And they need to improve by 12 wins to go over this total. They were 77-85 last year. I just think it's too tall of an ask, especially because I actually do think the Braves have gotten better. I think the Phillies have gotten better. And the Miami Marlins, their pitching is absolutely nuts. Like, they're not going to be a pushover team this year, in my opinion. They're not a team I can bet for a full season, but I am going to be betting the Miami Marlins in games very often this year.
Yeah,
since we didn't really hit on it, one of my favorites was the Phillies just to make the playoffs, given the two wild cards. So they're at plus 100, and when you look at their outfield, it's just insane. Bryce Harper, they added Nick Castellanos. They'll have that DL spot that Kyle Schwarber can have. And then on the other side, on the pitching, they have Zach Wheeler, who's an ace. They're returning their three top starters. I like what they did. I think they got better this offseason, and I think at plus 100, there's some value that they're able to sneak in a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Very interesting team for sure. Got a lot of big bats. I think that, you know, they definitely downgraded the defense, which could have a negative impact on the pitchers to some extent. But yeah, there's a, you know, wide range of outcomes with them. I think that their offense is going to be, you know, keeping them in some games for sure.
Yeah, the thing with the Phillies is their bullpen has been pretty much the worst in the league for the past like 2 or 3 years. Now, based on FanGraphs, I think they spent on bullpen arms, and their rotation is pretty good with obviously Nola, Wheeler, who I'm high on, and they have Kyle Gibson for a full year. But like, really, what is going to make or break this team is if the resources they spent on the bullpen this offseason actually pan out, because that's really where they lose games.
Yeah, it's been a struggle for them for sure.
So we'll see. I like them there though. So let's move on. We got the NL Central. The NL Central is my division, but the Reds have zero chance. There's only really one team that odds makers like, and it's the Milwaukee Brewers. They're minus 180. They do give a shot to the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't have that pulled up right now. Jeff, we'll start with you. Do you have anything other than the Brewers? Do you see any value in the Cardinals? I know I wrote the preview for Sportsbook Wire. It seemed like they've been, I mean, they've been good for a long time. 8 out of 11, I believe 8 out of 11 last year they made the playoffs. So do you think they're a good team to back, or do you have any other thoughts?
Are you asking if St. Louis is a good team to back?
Just give us your NL Central views.
Well, I mean, just to answer specifically, St. Louis is pretty much always a good team to back. Like, even if you don't like look at their roster or really pay attention to what they're doing, like, and you just bet the St. Louis Cardinals, you're probably going to win money. Like you said, they made it to the playoffs 7 out of the last 8 years. Like, my issue with them last year was that I thought the rotation relied too much on Jack Flaherty. And I slightly felt like that again this year. Now he's already injured. But like Adam Wainwright had like a throwback year last year. He was phenomenal. Like that bullpen went from in the beginning of the year, they could not find the strike zone. They missed the strike zone. It like their walk numbers were absolutely absurd. And then like a light switch, it just went the other way. And that's really why they end up making the playoffs is because their bullpen figured itself out. I mean, they have a sick lineup. Nolan Arenado is one of my sleepers to win the MVP. He really should never be a sleeper. He should always be a favorite. That guy is most likely a first ballot Hall of Famer. I've thrown that around probably too much in this podcast, but me and Brian were high on the Milwaukee Brewers last year. We both gave them out as a best bet to win the NL Central. I think it was plus 300, right? Is that what we gave it out?
I think it was closer to 4. Yeah, we were both all over it. Both our favorite bets last year, I believe.
Yeah, and right now they're going at, I think, minus 165 on Tipico. There's no value in that number. They should win the division. I like the additions they made between McCutchen, who is more of a flyer, and Hunter Renfro, who's been a legitimate power hitter. They're going to have full seasons at a Rowdy Tellez and William Adames. They have a top three pitching staff. Like, and the bullpen was actually mediocre last year, and there's not a lot of rhyme or reason to that. They should be an elite bullpen. My best bet in this division, sorry to pile on here, but I'm going under Reds, 74.5 wins.
Stop it. That was mine.
Yeah. I mean, I'll let you give your handicap and I'll just piggyback. Why do you like the Reds under 74.5 wins?
Yeah. I mean, you look at what they did this offseason, and honestly, it was, they're looking for the future, and that's almost putting it lightly. They lost a handful of former All-Stars. They didn't pay Castellanos. Votto's now 38. I get he was once an MVP. I don't think he keeps that up nearing 40. I know he had a burst in the second half of the season. I get that, but he only was hitting .250. So I don't think he's going to keep it up as they get older. They dealt Winker, they dealt Suarez, and I was kind of underwhelmed by Luis Castillo last year. He had a league high 16 losses. I know not all that can be attributed to him, but he also had a 3.98 ERA, and they're going to be relying on Hunter Green. I think he's going to be in the starting rotation potentially, and he hasn't necessarily impressed me too much. I've been following him since his days with the Dayton Dragons. So I'm just not sure this team's ready for 75 plus. So I guess we'll see, but you can continue with it. It's just offseason didn't do him any justice.
Yeah, I mean, they let Wade Miley go, who I think threw a no-hitter for you guys last year, right?
Yep, Sonny Gray. I mean, Wade was a pitcher, I think, but...
Well, Wade Miley, he threw a no-hitter for you guys, right? Didn't he throw a no-hitter last year? I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, once. But either way, Sony, our pitching has to be the worst in the NL Central.
I mean, you let those guys go without replacing them. The bullpen was terrible last year. You didn't make any upgrades. I mean, you let my college, not homie, but like I went to college same year, around the same time as Amir Garrett, I believe, St. John's guy, so... I usually root for him, but he struggled last year, and I think you guys were counting on him to be pretty good, but really no one in the bullpen for Cincinnati was good. Last year, they actually snapped an 8-year streak of unders, with an 83-79 win total. I actually do think they drop by a full 10 games this year because of all the talent that went out the door and not really recouping any of it. So I wish that I had something juicier to give out here in the NL Central like me and Brian did last year, but the number is good on the Brewers, and I'm not laying minus 165 for 6 months. No way.
All right. I think I would lay that with the Brewers. I mean, three of the five teams are already out of it before the season starts. I can't see Cubs, Reds, or Pirates. I don't think any will finish over 500. So it's just down to Brewers and Cardinals. And I don't know. I know the Cards hung within five games of them last year, but that top three in the Milwaukee rotation, in addition to some of the guys you mentioned, I just think they have everything they need. I think they'll win by more than five games this year. I think that's, love the value last year. It's not quite as great of a bet this year, but I still think they'd be my play here.
Yeah, I agree. You're effectively cashing a ticket from the Brewers to win the division in the beginning of September, mentally at least. I don't know if they clinch that soon. The magic number will probably be pretty short come that time. And really, if they get anything out of their hitting, they could win the World Series for sure.
And I think Yelich, it's hard to say what he's going to do, but I think he'll bounce back, not to his, MVP form, but I think he'll have a big year. And Adamas, having a full season of him, that offense feel a little better than they were last year, I believe.
Well, that's what they need.
Yeah, and I was watching something on a Daily Wager, one of ESPN's betting shows, and it said something similar on the Dodgers. It said the plus 480 or whatever it is maybe going to be the shortest you're going to get it all season. And it kind of made me think of what you're saying on the Brewers. Minus 165 may not be a great price point, but if it's a good ticket, it's a good ticket. So that's a good thought there.
Yeah, I mean, I think at that, the implied win probability, I can pull it up real quick. The implied win probability on a minus 165 bet is...
probably what, 64%?
Not bad, 62%. And bottom line is the Brewers win this division two-thirds of the time. So there's value in this number. I have my little rules that I can't get over.
Yeah.
Minus 150 or plus futures just aren't it for Jeff.
Yeah.
All right. So let's carry on to the NL West. I don't have a play here. Sportsbooks really only want, or Tipico really only has the Dodgers as they're the heavy favorite, used to minus 250. The Padres are in there at plus 320 and the Giants at plus 500. Both also have an outlier chance. And then the Rockies and Diamondbacks are plus 10,000. Looks like the Dodgers are the heavy favorite. Is there anything else you want to add? Is there any maybe win totals or any other insights you might have, Brian?
Yeah, not a lot to like here. As far as the division goes, I definitely think the Dodgers will win, but that's, pretty high price to pay. And you saw what happened last year when everybody's expecting them to win. So they do have two other solid teams in that division. So I'd probably just pass all around on the divisional bets. I do kind of like the Giants at over 85.5 wins. So, they won over 100 games last year, and definitely don't see them repeating that feat, but I think they can get to 86 or 87. I'd feel pretty good about putting a small play on them. They got a lot of depth, and adding Rodon makes up for the loss of Gossman. Oh, and I think Alex Cobb's going to be really, really good as long as he's healthy. So I like that rotation a lot and think they'll push 90 wins, but don't see them winning the division.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much just going to piggyback Brian's point here. I think a lot of people, a lot of fake sharp people will want to, zag on the San Francisco Giants, just it's a fluke year, they won't do it again. And I tried to make that case when I started looking at this team, but they look great. I mean, really, they won 107 games last year, so in order for that under to cash and 85.5, they need to be 22 games worse. They're not 22 games worse. I think the Padres, I actually think the Padres are going to win the World Series. I'll put a little bit, I'll sprinkle on it. That being said, I do think the Dodgers probably win the division. I don't have any issue with taking them to win the division. But, like, the Giants are, I think, are almost a lock to win 85.5 games. I mean, they have a pretty good farm system. They're the 11th best farm system, at least according to MLB.com. I agree with Brian that Rodon and Gausman, that flop, that switch is a wash. I am a little nervous about Buster Posey's retirement, but they've been grooming this kid, Joey Bart. I'm friends with a few Giants fans. They love Joey Bart. I think he was the second pick in the draft a couple years ago. So, you know, he's been kind of waiting in the wings, and now he gets a shot. Their bullpen is sick. They kept most of those arms in the bullpen. They were a top six bullpen by FIP, home runs per nine innings, and WAR. They're hitting. They were third in WAR, fifth in WRC+, fourth in weighted on base average. And they were the best against the spread team in the MLB. They just kept exceeding market expectations. I like the Giants. I don't think they could be 22 games worse. I don't agree with the market on that one, you know, and I do think the Dodgers do win 100 games. I think the Padres win 90 plus games. I could see the Giants also winning 90 games, but that means a lot of losses for the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, which I don't see them winning. So,
yeah, and the Rockies 68.5 or so. I really like the under there because I think there's an excellent chance they lose 100 games. They're not going to be competitive in that division. So like the Rockies. Rockies under is probably the one I like the most in that division, to be honest with you.
No shit. All right.
Sure, Rockies fans won't be loving to hear that.
One of the few states Tipico's operational in Colorado. Hey, what's up, Colorado? Yeah.
So we were supposed to be giving out them a plus 10,000 to win. Yeah, you didn't hear that here.
No, they all know. They know what's up.
All right, so I think we're ready to carry on to season awards, a little more spicy section. We got a MVP, most valuable player, up first for the AL. The AL's got a little – the top three are a lot more heavy-weighted than the rest of the pack compared to the NL. So we got Shohei at plus 300, Mike Trout plus 350, and then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at plus 350. It's also Aaron Judge, Rafael Devers, and Wander Franco, all at plus 1,500. And then if you like someone from the pack, feel free. But those are the six favorites. So, Jeff, do you have I know you've been kind of doing your research on the MVPs in these divisions or these leagues. So what are you feeling?
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on Jesse Winker. I gave you his career stats, career averages. They're sick. He's going to be in an awesome lineup. I think that lineup, or I think Seattle could make it to the playoffs and win the division. So that just kind of adds more spotlight to anyone who's playing good for the Mariners. So plus 5,000 for Jesse Winker is a ticket that I can get down on. Also, Brandon Lowe, in a very similar vein to Jesse Winker. His numbers are just sick. And right now he's going for Brandon Lowe is right now plus
4,000
on Tipico, sorry. And so is Jesse Winker. I had it plus 5,000. It's plus 4,000 for both of them. My pick to win the award, it's Shohei Ohtani, right? I'm not gonna bet plus 400. Or yeah, I think he's plus 300 right now. I don't see any value in that number because there is some injury stuff and Angel Juju that you have to worry about. But my sprinkles for the MVP race are Jesse Winker, Brandon Lowe, and this is my AL East bias here, but Rafael Devers just kills the Yankees. That guy is an absolute stud. An absolute monster. He's, I think, 25, near gold glove third baseman, had 39 home runs and 100 plus RBIs last year, and is just getting better. He's plus 1,500. That's, I think, the mid-tier would be considered. He's in the next group right behind those three favorites. I like Rafael Devers for the value as well.
All right. Yeah, I kind of like a couple guys. I like Bo Bichette at plus 2,000. You know, when Vlad is about plus 500, I think those two guys, you know, are going to be among the leaders. And Bichette went 298 with 29 homers, 25 steals last year. So I just think he's going to be compiling stats across the board all season long in that loaded offense. And I could see either one of them taking home the trophy. And I don't think there should be that big of a gap in their odds. So I like Bichette for the value there. And Alvarez for Astros, we gave him a 50 home run upside note in the baseball forecaster. And, you know, he can do something like that on a, you know, very good team, which voters obviously like when your team's good, and the Astros should be good again. And so Alvarez at plus 2,000, I like as well. So those would be my two picks for best values.
Cool.
And then let's, the NL.
Yeah, let's hit the NL. So the NL is a little more diverse, I'd say. There's Juan Soto coming in. He's a strong plus 260. Ronald Acuna Jr. is plus 650. And then you have Bryce Harper plus 700. And then you have all your Dodgers. Mookie Betts plus 900. Freddie Freeman plus 1,000. Trey Turner plus 1,300. And then your Padre, who would be my pick, Fernando Tatis Jr., plus 1,300. Brian, why don't you go ahead, give us what you're thinking for the NL MVP.
All right. I like Trey Turner at plus 1,300. I mean, last year he had 328, 28 homers, 32 steals. He's going to be on what might be the best offense in the National League, which should be the best offense. So, you know, he's the number one player in almost every fantasy draft right now. And I see no reason why he can't win MVP as well. Plays a prime position, best team in the league. And he's going to be going off again. So plus 1,300, I think, is a great – great spot for him. And then Alonso, let's see, he's plus 3,000 right now. He's got the 50 homer upside as well. So if the Mets fulfill my prediction and win that division, he could be, you know, getting those honors if he is carrying them to that title.
Yeah, Juan Soto at plus 260 is just – It's not a big enough payout, but I think he's the best everyday player in baseball. Like his advanced numbers are sick, and he played on a pretty trash team last year. But I like Ronald Acuna Jr. I like him. I agree with Brian and Trey Turner at plus 1,300 has some value. I think Nolan Arenado at plus 2,000 has some value. He actually had a down year last year with 34 home runs, 105 RBIs, 336 weighted on base, and a 113 WRC plus. And I gave this guy out last year and didn't come through for me, but Manny Machado plus 3,000 is a guy that I almost always want to have some sort of like MVP sprinkle on. I mean, you can just pencil him in for 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, Gold Glove caliber defense at third base, and no Fernando Tatis Jr. early in the season gives Machado an opportunity to kind of steal some of the spotlight and get out in front of his own teammate who's ahead of him in the MVP odds. So I think Ronald Acuna Jr. would be my pick, you know, gun to my head if I had to pick one to win it, but I see value in Brian's pick, Turner, Arenado at plus 2,000, Machado.
Yep. Yeah, so let's carry on. We got a Cy Young Award. I think this is probably one of my favorites in that they do. So let's start with the AL. There's Garrett – AL, we got Garrett Cole at plus 380, Shane Bieber at plus 650, Robbie Ray at plus 750, and I'm going to butcher this, and Brian will probably get upset, but Lucas Giolito?
Yep.
Nailed it.
At plus 900. So what are you liking there? What are you seeing with those odds?
I think there's enough value in Cole there. I think he's the pretty clear favorite. You know, Robbie Ray, was awesome last year and won it again. I think he'll be really good again. But I would definitely give the edge to Cole, and you're getting almost 4-1 odds. So he's never had many health issues, so he's a good bet to compile a heavy workload. He's on a good team, going to pile up the wins. I like him a lot, and I'll pick him to win and also place a bet at those odds. And then the other guy, Giolito, I think 9-1. He was a little bit of a disappointment last year. He's come to camp. He's throwing harder right now. He's bulked up. He's in a division with some pretty weak offenses, and his team's going to give him a lot of run support. So plus 900, sign me up. I'll take Giolito. I think he bounces back in a big way. I thought he was bad last year, but I just think he'll be among the game's best.
Yeah. Sorry. I literally have the same things written down. I think Gerrit Cole is the favorite, or he should be the favorite, and I think he'll end up winning. And I do think a sprinkle on Lucas Giolito is a solid play as well. Everyone talks about the sticky substance policy that went into effect June 21st and how much it affected certain pitchers, and one of them was certainly Gerrit Cole, right? But now he has a whole offseason to work on, his pitching mechanics. And, it wasn't like a Yu Darvish situation last year. Brian knows what I'm talking about, but if you look at Yu Darvish's numbers before June 21st, before that sticky substance policy, and after, it's like staggering. Like, he was Hall of Fame pitcher, right? And then they enacted that policy, and he went 1-9 and had a plus 6 ERA. Like, it was crazy. Now, Gerrit Cole definitely struggled initially after that policy was enacted, but he also had his best outing after that policy was fired up or whatever enacted against the Houston Astros. He pitched like 120 pitches, complete game, and like a must win for the Yankees. So I've seen enough at a Gerrit Cole. Obviously, I watch a lot of them to know or to feel comfortable that like he'll bounce back this year after a disappointing year last year. But if you look at like his pitching peripherals, like every other pitcher would be just stoked to have the year that he had last year.
Yeah, he's as good as ever underneath the hood.
Yep. I'd go Gerrit Cole. And I like the plus 380 or 360.
Yep.
I'm fired up about the NL Cy Young. I really am. I actually have a best bet in there.
All right, yeah, let's dive into those. Let's get the odds real quick before we let you just run away with it. So it looks like there's about five. Man, this is really laid out to where it could be anyone. Max Scherzer leads the group at plus 500. Corbin Burns plus 550. Walker Buehler plus 650. Zach Wheeler, we were talking about earlier, plus 700. Brandon Woodruff plus 750. And then, I mean, you have 12 pitchers that have shorter odds than plus 1500. So that's a good pool to choose from. So why don't you break it in? Why don't you give us that excitement out in word form, Jeff?
Well, I'm seeing a couple different numbers for the same guy on Tipico, so I'm not sure. Julio Urias, though, the left-hander for the Dodgers. Now, I think Walker Buehler is the best pitcher on that rotation. Like, I do think he should be like opening day starter, game one starter, granted. But Julio Urias, this guy was the only 20-game winner in Major League Baseball last year. The next closest guy, I think, had 17 wins. His MLB rankings by WAR, this is all baseball, not just the NL, by MLB rankings, WAR, 7th. Hard hit rate, 2nd. Exit velocity, 4th. Barrel rate, 8th. WHIP, 6th. FIP, 8th. Home run per 9-inning rate, 14th. He's and this was pitching against the Padres, the Giants, two of the better lineups and two of the better teams in the league. Well, the Padres shit the bed late, but you know what I'm saying. And pitching in Coors several times, which is the hardest ballpark to pitch in. Like, I just think, like, I don't disagree with the people that are priced ahead of him, but I think this value on this ticket is phenomenal. I'll take it with, I guess, plus 3,000 is what I'll pencil it in on.
All right. Yeah, I could see that. I'm going Corbin Burns. I mean, he was just easily, skills-wise, the best pitcher in the National League last year, won it last year, and plus 550 is a pretty nice price, I think. So I know it's kind of chalky. He's second favorite as of now, but Brian, I don't see why he's not plus 250 or something.
Do you remember the NL preview last year and perhaps the greatest call in baseball gambling history? I said Corbin Burns at 33-1 to win the NL Cy Young. I was like, watch out for this dude. Honestly, the best baseball call I've ever made.
That was a good call. I wish I would have invested in that as well, not just your small division.
Yeah, me too, dude. In my state, the book that offered that, I couldn't get it anywhere. So it was just like someone profited off of my genius and wasn't even me.
Yes, your check is in the mail. But I guess Rodon would be another longer shot. I know he's probably not going to stay healthy all year, but 15-1, you know, if he does stay healthy, he's going to be the Giants can really do some things with pitchers. His skills were off the charts last year, so I think he's going to be an ace when on the mound. It's just a question of how long he'll stay healthy, but if he can get to 170 innings somehow, then he's right there in the mix for Cy Young. So I'll take him at plus 1500.
And wasn't Corbin Burns the first? I think he was like the first Cy Young winner to pitch less than 170 innings. So he kind of, in a sense, broke a barrier, right?
Yeah, most of the time. I don't know the exact numbers, but yeah, most of the time they do go a lot more innings than what he did last year. But his strikeout totals were just so high that, you know, he's still, what did he get, 234 strikeouts or something?
Yeah, I mean, his number is
160 something innings. Yeah, just insane. So, yeah, he'd be my pick for sure again. Yeah,
plus 550. Then, or my bad. Go ahead. Yeah, so my one pick is I had Zach Wheeler penciled as a pretty good option at plus 700. He had a career high strikeout rate last year. He led the league with 247. He led the league in innings pitched, and he went 14-10. I think the Phillies, they juiced up their outfield. I think they could. I mean, if he can get up to 17 or 18 wins, I think he's really got a shot. And if he can, again, lead the league, if he can get there up in innings pitched, I think plus 700 isn't bad value for him.
Adding to that, Tipico doesn't have a market for this, but some sports books do. Check it out. I like Zach Wheeler to have the most strikeouts in baseball because he does have a really high K per nine inning rate. But he's also just like a workhorse. Like that guy, I feel more comfortable about him getting to 200 innings pitched than anyone else in baseball, really. Like he's almost like effortlessly throws high 90s. Like I don't think there's anything wrong with that NL Cy Young pick, Nate, and I do think there's some value in his having the most strikeouts in baseball.
Yeah, so we were about to move on out of Cy Young anyway, but just to note, I do see Tipico having a pitcher to record the most strikeouts.
Ooh, okay,
Zach Wheeler is the second favorite. DeGrom, Scherzer, and Wheeler are all plus 750. I don't know if you guys had anything you want to expand on that, or we can cover that later, but Garrett Cole is the favorite at plus 380.
Gotcha.
All right. Yeah, I haven't seen that list. I'll have to check that out, but I don't have
it. Yeah, obviously I haven't had a chance to look at it either, at least not on Tipico, so.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and move on. We got AL Rookie of the Year. Looks like there's only about four or five options that are favorites. Bobby Witt Jr. at plus 280 is the strong favorite. And then there's, some of these names. Spencer Torkelson plus 425 and Julio Rodriguez plus 450. Those two and then Adley Rutschman at plus 650. Brian, do you have a take on Rookie of the Year? Who's going to be up and coming?
Let's see, Julio Rodriguez. I think the price is going to be going up. If you can lock it in at plus 450, I'd jump on that. It's the hype train is in full effect right now. So I think he's going to, you know, sometimes we see these rookies hyped and it doesn't work out, but I think he'll hit the ground running and have a pretty big year. He's one of the top prospects in the game for good reason. And he's, I think he's the favorite for the award right now in my eyes. And then one more name I'd like to add, Matt Brash, who had 142 strikeouts in 97 and third innings in the minors last year. And he looks like locked to crack the Seattle rotation opening day now. So I don't see him on the Tipico lines, but I did see him at another spot, like plus 4,500. And this guy, his stuff's electric, throws high 90s with nasty breaking stuff. So if you can get any action on that, I think he's a good long shot to take as well.
Yeah, well, thank God we have Brian here for this one, because this is where I defer to him. He knows just a ton more about baseball, and he follows like the minor league stuff better than I do. So I would more defer to him on his rookie of the year selection. I do like Spencer Torkelson. I think he's the fifth ranked prospect in baseball. He's was announced to the opening day starting roster, I believe, for the Detroit Tigers, and he kind of. He more or less just has a clear runway, right? He's going to get the at-bats if he stays healthy. Julio Rodriguez is another name that I mentioned earlier, and it's a part of the reason, very small part of the reason, why I do like the Seattle Mariners to win the AL West. So I would be cool with playing him. And like Brian said, I could see his number going from 450 to 250 if he has a nice April, right? Like actually, if he has a nice couple weeks, first 2 weeks, like it's going to, he'll be the favorite pretty quickly. I don't have much on Bobby Witt Jr. I'll go with the market's price as him as the favorite. I know he's the best prospect in baseball. The Kansas City Royal infielder, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think there's definitely concerns about swing and miss in his game. So, I mean, a lot of people think he'll hit the ground running and have a big year right away. I have a little bit of doubt that I think he'll – you know, maybe a 230, 240 hitter right out of the gate, not jump to the star level right away.
Gotcha. I'll pick Spencer Torkelson.
Cool. All right, so now we're going to get to what I really want to talk about. Brian, is there any way Hunter Green wins Rookie of the Year in the NL? You can tell me no, but I just wondered.
I don't know. Or Lodello. They got a couple guys. They'll be playing a lot of rookies, so you'll have plenty of guys to choose from there since they traded away all the veterans. But I don't know. They do have some young, promising arms who may be worth a small wager. But I'd probably give the lean to O'Neill Cruz myself. He's just got power-speed combo. And even if they delay him a little bit to start the year, he'll be up soon.
Yeah, so O'Neill Cruz can be at plus 380. The favorite for this is Seiya Suzuki, plus 320. And then Kiebert Ruiz at plus 550 is also up there, just to add those in for the listeners.
You like O'Neill Cruz at shortstop Pirates, right?
Right.
Huh. And Suzuki, he played in Japan, right? Chicago purchased him?
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't like too many long shots on this, but I would say I'd probably fade Suzuki and go with Ruiz or Cruz. But don't love those prices either, but not many long shots I like. So this isn't a category I have a real strong opinion on. But
yep, same here. I lean Joey Bart, the catcher from San Francisco. I already touched on why they've been grooming him. He's, I think, the second pick in the draft a few years ago, and they're expecting big things out of him, and they'll give him the opportunity to come through for him. So it's more of a lean, but Joey Bart would be my pick to win the NL Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm. I think Ruiz would be just a little better offensively with the high elite contact rate he brings to the table in Washington. I think he'll hit for a high average right away and be really solid. But yeah, I think Bart long term will definitely be good. I don't know. We'll see about this year, but not a bad gamble at that price. And you made some good calls last year. So
yeah, I got a little lucky last year. Hopefully, hopefully we can get lucky again this year.
All right, so move from the rookies to more experienced guys. So most home runs in the MLB currently being favorited to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at plus 650. Pete Alonso plus 1,000. Judge plus 1,200. Mike Trout plus 1,300. Some long shots that might be decent plays. Bryce Harper's plus 2,000. Juan Soto plus 2,000. Tatis Jr. plus 2,000. Jeff, we can start with you. Do you like any of those options?
Well, I couldn't actually find the Tipico options, but I mean, which Giancarlo Stanton?
Plus 2,000.
Yeah, I that's what I saw him at another book. I like him and or Juan Soto for the value. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is phenomenal, but I think that price is too expensive. I'm a little confused about Giancarlo Stanton's pricing. I understand he obviously has injury concerns, but he plays at the international airport of George Steinbrenner, right? I mean, like, it's a launching pad over there. He looked phenomenal at the end of the year. He's fourth in a hard hit rate, second in EV. So, like, if he gets the barrel and the ball, it's going very, very far. And plus 2,000 for a guy who's hit 59 home runs already and has led the major leagues in home runs and is typically or is probably considered the best power hitter in the game when right. I think that's a nice price point. And then Juan Soto, same. What is he, plus 2,000 as well?
Yep.
He, to me, is the best hitter in baseball. So I just see plus 2,000 Juan Soto. Like, yeah, I'll sprinkle on that.
Sure,
like,
whatever. Let's hit it. Plus 2,000 Soto.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll do it, but, like, I do think he's the best hitter in baseball.
Yeah. I like Pete Alonso at that price. I think he is a legitimate threat for 50 homers, so he might be my top choice. And then going a little farther down the board for a little bit of a longer shot, I think Franmil Reyes in Cleveland has the potential to put up a ton of homers too and push for that title.
They'll need it.
Yeah, that was literally the words going to come out of my mouth, because they'll need it.
Yeah, not much else to cheer for there, but he could be the home run king.
All right, good deal. Let's move from home run hitters to those pitching. Pitcher to record the most wins is an interesting prop. Gerrit Cole plus 650 and Walker Buehler plus 650, both tied there. Buehler for obvious reasons. And then Zach Wilson, like we talked about earlier, is plus 750. Max Scherzer plus 900. DeGrom plus 1300. Brian, do you have anyone you like? Do you want me to look the odds up for anyone else? I think Buehler's probably a strong play at plus 650 there.
Yes, he is. Could you read a few more down the list? Because I don't have that one in front of me.
DeGrom plus 1,300. Corbin Burns plus 1,500. Verlander plus 2,000. Aaron Nola plus 2,000. Robbie Ray plus 2,000. And then the list goes on for a while.
Yeah. Burns stands out as a pretty good value to me. I think he can increase the workload, number of starts he makes this year, and just dominate every time out. Rivers give him a lot of games against some weak teams, so I think he could definitely get to the 20 win mark. So those odds, yeah, I'll take it for sure. He'd be my pick.
I agree with Walker Buehler as a favorite. Robbie Ray plus 2,000 sounds very juicy, especially how high I think of Seattle and him just coming off a Cy Young season. Do they have Urias up there? I might take a buckshot approach with him and hit him to win Cy Young and to lead the league and wins again. If he's up there, I would say it has to be juicier than plus 2,000. Oh, it's 2,000? Cool. Then, yep. Yeah, I'll take him.
Maybe that could call.
Yeah,
that's a good value as well.
All right, cool. Well, let's continue on. We have our next segment, got the pennant and World Series winners, the juicy part. So the NL is pretty strong. You have the Dodgers at plus 210, the Braves at plus 500. I assume you guys know some of the values down the – is there any value in anyone but the Dodgers? I mean, when you're seven hitters, Bellinger, do you see anyone winning the NL besides the Dodgers, Brian?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Brew Crew. I think the top three in that rotation is just can carry them. I think they're built for the playoffs. And, you know, I think the offense has improved, and the bullpen is strong, but mainly just those top three in the rotation. And even the fourth and fifth starters they have, well, at least fourth, Eric Lauer, I like him. I think they could even add somebody late in the year. And yeah, I like them to make a run at the pennant, so they'd be my pick.
Yeah, my NL pick, I'll take the Padres plus 700, I believe it is, on Tipico.
I like it, 750.
750. Obviously, Yu Darvish needs to go from reaches prior form to before that sticky substance policy. I love what I saw to Joe Musgrove last year. I mean, he pitched a no hitter. Sean Manaea was an awesome pickup that I think highly of, and Blake Snell, if he can stay healthy, is another like elite top of the rotation guy, a former Cy Young winner as well. Also, they after that collapse, they parted ways with manager Jace Tingler, and they hired Bob Melvin. And I feel like this is kind of going to be my hottest take of this podcast, probably. I think Bob Melvin could have like a Tony La Russa effect. A lot of people shit on the hire of Tony La Russa last year and say the game passed him by and he just couldn't reach the kids in the clubhouse. But then Chicago had their most wins since they won the World Series in 2005. So Tony La Russa still has it. Bob Melvin, three-time manager of the year. We saw clubhouse and dugout frustrations boil over with a little issue between Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado. And I think Bob Melvin's experience helps ease that. Their bullpen, I think, is going to improve. It was pretty good last year. It's going to improve just by adding rotation depth. They'll have Ryan Weathers instead of being like an opener. He'll be more of like a long relief guy. I know he's just optioned to the minors, but I think he'll be back up. And you have guys like Denelson Lamet, who was a Cy Young candidate, I think, in the lockout or the COVID year. I mean, he'll be in the rotation, or excuse me, he'll be in the bullpen, and he can give them quality innings out of the bullpen. I mean, this lineup is sick, and they have a hell of a rotation. So I'll go with the Padres to break through this year.
All right, cool. Yeah. So my Reds don't have a shot. So we can continue on through there. We have the AL. The AL is a little more diverse. They have the Astros at plus 425. The Blue Jays, who would be my pick given their infield, at plus 425. And then the White Sox plus 550. Yankees plus 550. And then Brian Rays at plus 650. Brian, do you see value in those? Do you see value in anyone a little further down? I see the Twins at plus 2,000. Angels plus 1,500.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing anybody below like the top five or six coming out on top in the American League. So it'd be between the Blue Jays and White Sox for me. And I guess I'd lean Blue Jays. I just think they're just like everything about them pretty much, other than the rotation depth. But I think that can be addressed during the season, and their offense can carry the day. So I like. Hopefully the Rays will come out on top, but I see the Blue Jays winning the division and representing the AL in the World Series. So all that young talent is going to be hard to stop.
Yeah, I'm taking the Tampa Bay Rays to make it to the World Series. I hate that I'm saying that, but I do think they're the best team in the American League. Obviously, they have to go through a gauntlet of the AL East schedule and whatnot, but their bullpen is just, it's sick. Their lineup is like, it's not even like pretty good for having a low payroll. This lineup is sick. Like, they are pretty stacked. And Wander Franco more or less could be an MVP candidate this year. That kid's phenomenal. Their bullpen, again, is awesome. And like, they're going to get better with Shane Baz whenever he returns. And I don't know if they get anything out of Tyler Glass now, but imagine if he's ready to go come October. Like, that's just going to add to their arm depth. So I like Tampa Bay. I'm not crazy about pennant or World Series futures, if I'm being honest. I'm more of a game-to-game handicapper. But my picks are Tampa Bay to meet the Padres in the World Series, and the Padres to win it all at plus 1,500.
I definitely still like the Blue Jays. I think their infield is just sick, and they'll have an easy time defeating teams. Let's carry on. I know you have your Padres down there plus 1500, but the Dodgers are the favorite to win the World Series. Strong favorite at that. They're plus 450. After that is Astros, Blue Jays plus 900, and then you have a four-way tie at plus 1200 for the White Sox, Yankees, Brewers, and Braves. And then your Rays at plus 1300 again. Brian, what do you like there? I know the Dodgers are kind of a heavy favorite. Do you see anyone competing with them? Been able to take them down?
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible in the playoffs, but I think that's a pretty fair price. So I might be in on the Dodgers at that price. They have I think they should roll through the regular season, and they've got money to spend. They've got depth everywhere, great rotation. So I think I'd put a little play on the Dodgers and then also sprinkle a little bit on the Jays.
Right on. Yeah. I got Padres beating the Rays. Who are your picks to win the World Series, Nate?
Yeah, I like the Dodgers. Like I said, I was listening to a show, and it was just when Cody Bellinger's your seventh, when your rotation's that good, when you have three of the top six MVP favorites, there's not much else to say, and plus 450 seems fair for him.
Yeah. Well, I just remember this time last season, we all thought and said the same thing. It's just, it's tough. Baseball's tough. But I of course, agree with the Dodgers pricing. They're the best team in baseball on paper.
Especially because, like Brian said, I mean, you get in any sport, but when you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. So,
yep.
All right, cool. As our listeners know, we got one more segment. Even in our previews, we like to hit our best bets. We call it Go Into the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Go Into the Window.
All right, so we're going to the window. Brian, do you want to lay out your best bets? What you like the most in this upcoming MLB season?
I will just go with some individual props. Give me Corbin Burns to win Cy Young. Give me Trey Turner to win MVP, plus 1,300. And then if you can get Matt Brash, once that line comes up for Rookie of the Year, I'm all over that one too. So plus 4,500, like I said, is what I saw at another place, but I don't see him on Tipico yet, but I'll be definitely looking for that. So those will be the three that really stand out to me when I'm up at the windows, ready to cash those.
Nice. Yeah. The four that jump out to me is Julio Urias to win NL Cy Young, plus 3,000 is what Tipico has it at. I'll take Seattle Mariners to win the AL West at plus 450. I like over Detroit Tigers, 77.5 wins. I like over Tampa Bay Rays, 89.5 wins. And I like the Reds, but I'll leave that one to you.
yeah, so I got the Reds under 74.5 wins. Pretty strong play there. I like the Blue Jays over 91.5 wins. The Mariners over 83.5 wins. And I want to kick it. I like the Phillies outfield. I like them at plus 100 to make the playoffs. So, those are my four. Again, thank you for listening. Presented by Tipico Sportsbook. Be sure to check them out. Brian, where can our listeners find you at?
I'm at RudHQ on Twitter. I'm writing at BaseballHQ and at Sportsbook Wire. So check it out.
All right, good deal. Really appreciate having you on the show. Thank you for taking your time. Do you have any last thoughts for the listeners?
No, but I love listening to your guys' show. I appreciate you having me on. Jump on anytime and talk some baseball. So had a great time.
Yeah, of course. And thank you everyone for listening. Be sure to check in tomorrow. We'll have our Masters preview up for this weekend. All right. Peace.
Peace.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.